Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Alrighty, 855-99-375-69. Alright, we were talking we're always talking about good science and bad science on the program. And bad science doesn't mean the science is wicked, it just means it's not very well done. So that people are making assumptions based on something other than good scientific principles, which means it's verifiable and reliable, that you can, other people who do the same thing will find the same results over and over again. And that's basically one of the tenets of science, and which is one of my concerns about grouping together science that's done by different people over different times with different groups and sort of putting it all together, which has gotten to be a more and more common practice, partially because a lot of experiments that are done in very small groups. And so the scientific methods that we use, the statistical analysis, are not workable because the sample size is too small. So somebody came up with a great idea, we'll just group them together. But if they use different methods or different methodologies or different groups, it's highly questionable. And it's being done more and more and more. And it's one of the reasons I spend so much time sort of being cranky about the difference between headlines and the research that's done and whether it's really reliable or not. And to teach you guys to really look beyond the headlines and say, all right, does this make any sense? Who's asking the question? Gee, what a surprise that somebody who makes gum is saying that gum is really good for you. Duh. So look who's asking the question, how the question is being asked, to whom it's being asked, and why it's being asked before you decide to assume that it's accurate, okay, or useful. Again, ideas are for using, not believing. All right, so the idea about, we're talking about babies, all right? The single factor that will probably most influence your life. And you could say, well, marriage. But marriage, basically, you still got two adults, right? And so you have to figure out who's going to make dinner, who takes out the garbage. But nobody's going to die if somebody doesn't take out the garbage, right? Once you've got a baby, somebody's going to take care of that baby. And that changes everything. You could say, well, losing your house. Well, losing your house is certainly a traumatic, awful thing to happen. But presumably, you can go live with a relative, you go live in a shelter, you live in your car. The thing that will change, the two things I would argue, but I'm not sure which I would give priority to, babies and bad health and health crises. As long as you're healthy, you got time, right? As long as you got time, things will work out. With babies, there's the time perspective goes away. Somebody got to take care of that baby now, right? So, and the idea being that in the latest studies coming out this year, the Guttmacher Institute, which does actually pretty good research, says that half of all births in the U.S. are unplanned. Oops. I had heard that a third, but it's apparently gone up. And you'd think with good birth control that would not be the case. And that's birth. We're not even talking about pregnancies. Right? So, I mean, that's an astonishing figure. Which doesn't mean that those pregnancies are unwanted or the children are unwanted, but it means that they're unplanned. Which is a scary thing if you think about it, because as I said, it's probably the single factor that will change your life the most. All right, so the idea being that how is there any way of kind of tracking this? And you think, well, you know, if half are unplanned, but it turns out that people have looked and said that that there are actually some factors that predispose to people getting pregnant. All right, hence the headline. Are babies contagious? Right? And at first, you know, when I just saw the headline, I thought, well, sure they are. And I was thinking of it not because if you're pregnant and you touch somebody that they're going to get pregnant too, but the idea of pregnancy, because what happens, again, if you figure half are unplanned, and these are talking about births, not pregnancies, all right? So people begin to presumably rationalize that this is a good thing. And if you rationalize it, you're going to talk with other people about it. You're going to say how great it is, how great you feel, how excited you are about it. You're going to start looking for the cute baby clothes. And there's probably nothing that's going to convince you more readily. Well, there are two. The thing that will convince you most readily probably to have a baby is a cute picture of a baby. Be careful. But the second is baby clothes. Baby clothes are so cute. I mean, really. I mean, it's like, you know, puppies or something. So the idea being that when you decide to have a baby, when you decide not to have a baby, are really influenced by people that you're around. And so I was talking with Trevor about it, and he was saying, well, on Facebook, that all of his friends are getting married and having babies. And so I said, Trevor, are you being convinced? And you heard the shakiest laugh you've ever heard in your life from the Trevor. So...
Yeah.
So it turns out that if a sibling, a friend, an acquaintance, or a coworker has a child, the risk that you're gonna get pregnant and give birth increases significantly. All right, because you get social pressure. All right, so Trevor, talk to me about this. You're pointing out that your parents had had what, three kids by the time they had all three of you by the time they were your age.
Yeah, that's right. I have three younger brothers, and we're all very close in age. So by the time my dad was my age, I think he'd had all three out of four of us.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about.
Well, it is from your point of view, from his point of view. I mean, my daughter at one point said, I can't believe you and Dad were so young when you had me. And we didn't consider ourselves particularly young at the time. We were, in retrospect. It's hard to believe that people as kind of young and as stupid as we were tasked with the job of raising a child. And we lived very far away from both sets of parents, so we really didn't have any particular support or help about it. But the idea being that there gets to be social pressure that's increased when somebody in the network has a child. And I'm sure what happens is when you go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Mother's Day and somebody says, so, or your Aunt Matilda says, so, and especially if you're married. If you're not married, I suppose the first question is, so, when are you guys getting married? Charlotte got married. You know, Henry got married. When are you getting married? And, of course, then once you've been married is, okay, how about you guys having kids? And somebody actually called me on the air once and said, you know, what's the answer to that? And I say, all you have to do is say, well, we're practicing. And that shuts everybody right down.
That's
right at that moment. Yeah. We're practicing. I mean, because the mental image is everybody sort of turns either pink or pale and walks away. There you go.
Because it's a very personal question when you get down to it.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Just kind of turning it back at them is a good way to handle it.
Yeah. And just saying, well, we're just practicing. And the idea being that apparently one of the major pressures is not only peers, but grandparents. Ooh. And although my kid said to me, you know, are you going to be unhappy about it if I don't have kids? And I said, look, I'm not going to raise that child. You are. And if it's something you want to do, fine. If it's something you don't want to do, I mean, I like babies, but, you know, I'm not going to take care of that kid. You are. So, and she thought that was kind of a cool answer.
That is good.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the nice things about sort of making your life work for you is that other people, I mean, it's fun to play with grandkids. I think I'd be much more the Auntie Mame than the Grandma Moses kind of grandmother anyway. And I, you know, I play with other people's kids, and I like kids. But on the other hand, it's really fun to play with them and then just give them back. There you go. Basically, the other thing that, and in fact, it was one of the emails that we got today about a woman who was enamored of her best friend's baby when her best friend was having a baby, and the woman who was sending the email had waited to have children, so her best friend was now very critical and much less involved with her child. And I'm saying, well, the difference between, and both of them are in their 40s now, but when her friend had her children, both of them were in their 30s. And so one of the things that happens when you're around people who have babies is they talk about how much fun it is, and you get to play with the baby when they're having a good time. And so it's much easier to love somebody else's kid when you don't have one. And then, 15 years later, her friend had been there, done it, wasn't quite as enamored with the idea of babies, especially somebody else's babies. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Have a question? Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
If you need advice about what movies to see over the weekend, make sure you check out drjoy.com. As I said, my sister sends me. I still can't convince her to go to the website. I guess it's an excuse to either talk with me or text me or whatever. She'll send me, all right, which of these movies should I see? And I said, none of them. They're all terrible. All right, so anyway, check out drjoy.com. And as I mentioned, if you're planning a trip to New York anytime in the next whatever, make sure you think about going to the theater. Because I can't remember a year where there has been more great theater. This has really been a banner year. So lots of stuff to see. All right, so I was talking about babies and contagion and the factors that contribute to it, which is even though 50% of all births are unplanned, not pregnancies, births, okay, that that there are factors that are predictive. A sibling, somebody in your network, and we're not even talking about all those cute pictures on Facebook and all the reunions and stuff like that, and grandparents, and the idea being that when somebody has a kid that they're going to, first of all, babies are cute and they're going to talk about how much fun it is, and there is that kind of oxytocin response of falling desperately in love with your kid for both moms and dads. And the reason to be aware of this kind of thing is not so much to predict who's going to have babies, although it turns out to be pretty accurate, that there, and whether you call it peer pressure or contagion or whatever else. But the reverse is also true when we're talking about zero population growth, that the one of the ways of reducing the possibility, the potential for babies, is to be clear about the advantages of staying childless, the advantages of not having children, whether that's economic or you get to travel more, or there are now buildings, apartment buildings that are child-free. There are cruises that are child-free. There are movie theaters that are child-free. So, and this country, by and large, although it depends on ethnicity to a certain extent, tends to not be as bothered as some parts of the world about overpopulation. And I was working with a project in the Dominican Republic with a youth center of getting movies, DVD players and movies down there. The idea being, and India figured this out years ago during the 60s when the ZPG, zero population growth movement, was so strong in a country that was literally choking on its own population. And what they did was they put movie theaters in every small town, which is one of the reasons that that Bollywood puts out three times more movies than Hollywood, is that if they, basically they were using it as birth control. If you got something to do in the evening other than making babies, you'll do it, right? You go to movies. So the movie theaters would change every couple of nights, because that way you get people out of their house, out of their bedrooms, and by the time I guess everybody is through watching the movie, everybody's tired and goes home and goes to bed and goes to sleep, as opposed to making babies. And it's certainly true for young kids as well, for teenagers. So that if there are alternatives, including birth control and including a pressure against having children, as I said, I'll review it for you next week, but I saw The King and I last night, and the idea being that the King of Siam at one point has 77 children. And as he points out, he started late, which he did. It turns out that a monarch on whom the king and I was based succeeded his brother, and he was kept as a monk until his brother died. It was a way of ensuring the progression. So he literally didn't start having, he wasn't married and didn't start having children, I think, till maybe as either even late 30s or something, maybe even 40s. I'll have to go and check it out. But he did start late. But and the idea was that the more children that you have, the more manly you are and the more wealth you have. And that's still very much a part of the ethos. Now, obviously, the king and I was set 100 years ago. But the idea being that it's still in some emerging countries, first of all, that the children don't always survive. And so the more children you have, the more likely you'll have someone to take care of you in old age. But the earth really can't support. The population has essentially almost doubled in the last 20 years. It went from about just under 4 billion to just over 7 billion. I mean, and we're going to run out of resources if we're not already running out of it. So the idea about this kind of study, are babies contagious? The answer is, yeah. So can you reverse the contagion by changing the social factors, by exposing people to people who don't have children, and talking about the virtues of not having children and the virtues of being single and the difficulties about child rearing, and putting in activities that give people alternatives to making babies at night or during the day or I suppose any other time. In other words, you can change social, you can change peer pressure, you can change social context. And that's important to know at these days, especially during, I guess, this Earth Week. All right, so what have I got here? About, I've got 3 or 4 minutes. You want to see if we can whip out an email? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So Latifa writes, Dr. Brown, I'm married to a wonderful man. We've been married for close to 2 years now. I've noticed that my husband never, ever says my name unless we are in a heated argument. The last time he said my name was late September 2014. To me, there's something very emotional about what a person calls you. I've asked him to work on this, but I don't think he feels it's important enough to work on. I will be listening to the show every day, and I hope you have a response to this. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I think you could explain to him. You know, I would start using his name a lot. I mean, the two of you have not been very terribly long. If you think about it, I mean, I was just thinking about your, you know, my experience with people my mother used to use, the only time that she called me Joy, she would call me Joy G or whatever. She had nicknames unless she was furious with me. And I think that for a lot of us, it's not that we don't know the person's name, or that, God forbid, we use the wrong name. I mean, we use an ex-girlfriend's name or something on it. I think it's just that there's that sense of affection, and so we'll use a nickname, or a hun, or babe, or doll, or whatever. And I think when you're around kids, you tend to do it as well. We tend to, you cutesy little baby cutie. So I would be a little less offended by it. And maybe the other thing you could do, so on the one hand, you can change your response to it a little bit and understand that's very likely the reason he's not using your name is not because he doesn't remember it, or not because he's confusing with someone else, or not because he doesn't like your name, but because he feels affection, and so he uses an affectionate term around you. He uses babe or darling or baby cakes or whatever. So on the one hand, that you take less umbrage. On the other hand, what I would do is subtly say to him, I'll tell you what, in fact, you don't even have to tell him that. You can say, anytime you use my name when it's not in anger, I will make your mother's pot roast, or nibble your ear, or give you a shampoo, or be your geisha for the night, or whatever. I mean, you can bribe him so that it changes his pattern a little bit. So as you change your perspective in how you're thinking about it and not taking offense at it, that his intellect, the part of his brain that says Latifa, is overwhelmed at that when he's talking with you and when he's feeling loving toward you, my sweetie pie or my darling or my cuddle bun. So that the emotional part is really short-circuiting the intellectual part. It's not that he doesn't know your name, it's just that the emotions are overwhelming him, and so he uses the affectionate term on the one hand. On the other hand, bribe him and see if that'll work, so somehow you meet somewhere in the middle and either make or don't make babies. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Right now is the time to jumpstart your health with a new 30% discount from InfoWarsHealth.com. Secure the all-new Tangy Tangerine 2.0 with certified organic ingredients that are non-GMO and better tasting than ever. For an exclusive 30% off discount when you sign up at InfoWarsHealth.com. That's 30% off retail when you become a distributor at InfoWarsHealth.com. You've heard me talk about Tangy Tangerine for years now, and you've heard others talk about what it's done for them. Take the challenge. Try it for the first time. Or even reorder your Tangy Tangerine and other great longevity products like Pollen Burst or the Alex Pack, all for 30% off when you visit InfoWarsHealth.com. This is a fantastic opportunity to be able to try out the hundreds of amazing products at InfoWarsHealth.com and get 30% off on products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine 2.0. Visit InfoWarsHealth.com to get started today. You can also sign up for AutoShip and get free shipping. 30% off and free shipping. It's all available exclusively at InfoWarsHealth.com today.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, this is the time of the week where we do It's Broken, Let's Fix It. And my guest today is Ido Mizrahi, who has a film called Gored. That's G-O-R-E-D, at the Tribeca Film Festival. And the first thing, Ido, that I asked you is, Mizrahi, are you any relation to Isaac, the designer?
No, not a relation.
And you're saying that this is, you spell a little different. You spell yours with a Y, he spells his with an I. But you're telling me this is a fairly common name?
It is a common name, and it literally means in Hebrew from the east or eastern. And I think it's probably one of those names that was given to many Jews who came from, Jews of Arabic descent, right? Whether it was from North Africa or Spain or other Asian countries.
Huh. So where are your people from?
So this side of my family, my father's side, is from Iraq. We're Iraqi Jews. And they got to, I want to say, Israel in as early as the 30s, and then the rest of them probably in the 50s.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. when the publicist got in touch with me about Gord, they said, would you like to interview the director? Because I'll tell you why I want to do it. And I said, well, does he speak English? Because your name does not, it's not exactly John Smith.
It's not exactly.
He said, oh, yeah, yeah, he's from Brooklyn or something. So well, welcome, first of all. All right,
so
first of all, I've seen the movie, and I liked it. Tell me what it's about and how and why you got interested in it.
So it's the story of Antonio Barrera, who is considered by many to be the most gored matador in modern history, which is not necessarily a title that you would want to have if you're a working matador.
It's kind of like the most fired psychologist on the air or something. I don't know. Okay. It's kind of a mixed bag, and I suppose it's good to be famous for something, but it's like my uncle was known as the best sneezer in third grade, but I don't know. All right. And you didn't do a documentary on him, but we're still waiting. All right. So how did you find out about Antonio?
So my producing writing partner of many years, Jeff Gray, had written a piece about him for Sports Illustrated a few years ago, and he stayed in touch with him. And when he found out Antonio was retiring, we actually got a small budget together to go shoot a short film about it. But once we started filming him, this whole other world kind of opened up to us. So it was really fascinating, and actually had nothing to do with bullfighting. I mean, it was all in the context of bullfighting, but it was really just this guy's battle between, you know, wanting to be a father and wanting to be a good husband and still hanging on to this dream that was dying maybe succeeding.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about it is, you know, I was curious about, because there are people, obviously you've been to bullfights because did you have any interest in bullfighting before you started this documentary?
None whatsoever. And I'm not, it's not like, yeah, it didn't.
You're not an aficionado.
No, I'm not. I find, you know, I think it's fascinating, and I think I had maybe an easier time taking a closer look at it because I know it's a phenomenon that's actually being phased out. Really on its kind of last legs. but no, I find it incredibly brutal.
Yeah, on both sides. Yeah, my first experience with bullfighting was actually in Houston, and they had they called it a bloodless bullfight. But the bloodless was they didn't kill the bull, but the matadors got gored. So it was only bloodless on one side. And it still seemed to me to be sort of torturing an animal, even though they didn't kill the bull.
Right.
It seemed, and then I saw one in Spain, and of course, it's a completely different experience in Spain, and it's been going on for hundreds of years.
Right.
It's still, I think, for American audiences, it's a tough sell that this is sporting, even though, all right, so we'll leave the issue. And so for me, the fascination was not bullfighting, even though I have a very good friend who is absolutely fascinated by bullfighting. But it was the obsessional quality of, as you say, here's a man who, and I mean, I think he truly is obsessed. I wasn't clear from the documentary, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this, whether the obsession was the life and death, the adrenaline junkie part of it, or the fame part of it, or some odd combination of the two, a feeling that, you know, that fear that some men seem to have about being ordinary, that they don't want to become their fathers, or they don't, you know. All right, so let's start with where this movie starts, and then we can look at all my questions about this, where this was his, the movie starts with his last fight, right? Him, that terrifying scene for me at least of him, the bull comes out and this huge angry animal and this very sort of small, thin, I mean, he's not muscular, he doesn't look like the Rock, he's not on steroids, he's a little kind of scrawny man in these pretty kind of clothes who's kneeling down. So he can't even move very fast, and the bull's coming out of it. And then and then you stop the action. And I'm thinking, wait, what's going on here? All right, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, that opening, I'm glad it was effective, and hopefully I think a lot of people are finding it effective. It's where it
might. Well, I was going to throw up, I think, so that's pretty effective.
I'm sorry, say it again?
I said I was going to throw up, so that was pretty effective. I think, wait!
That's a response. That's emotional.
Death in the afternoon.
But we didn't just shock for shock value there. The feeling that we had that whole day, that final day, the day of preparing for the final bullfight with his family, and then finally going, making that decision, also to make that insane move of kneeling in front of the gates, this move that almost killed him when he was a kid. We, in some ways, felt like he was preparing us for his death. That yeah. day, he was going to go, and that the only way, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying about what kind of constitutes his particular kind of obsession. I think definitely the fear of being forgotten is a major drive here. And so, you know, as a child, you know, he studied the great matadors. He wanted to become one of them. He could never be one of them. And one of the things that they all have, or not all of them, but many of them have in common, is that many of them died in the bull ring. Many of them were, you know, lost their lives to the bulls. And I think that there was still this kind of romantic idea associated with dying in the bull ring that was really still kind of pulsating in him, and it was on his mind. And for Matador, who never really achieved greatness, still maybe was his last chance of greatness.
To
die in the bull ring. And, you know, and again, it's a lot of applied psychoanalysis, right? It's a big guessing game. I can't really get in his head. He's a really tough guy to penetrate, no pun intended. And but nevertheless, that was the feeling. The feeling was almost like we were somewhere, you know, we were almost like at the guy's funeral. It was frightening. And that feeling wasn't just from watching him. It was from watching his wife and his daughter watch him prepare. There was something very, just the ritual of preparing for that final moment was intense.
Yeah, you know, there have been some other movies. I saw the movie Everest, and one of the people who climbed Everest, who actually died on the mountain, was in a
right.
tent, and they rigged up a phone call to his pregnant wife, and so he could say goodbye. And I'm ready. You know, if I could have gone through the screen and throttled him, I would have done it. I thought, you know, it's one thing to do as a single man and feeling like, you know, you want to make your mark on the world. But once you decide to become a father and a husband, don't you owe something to the people who love
sure.
you that is beyond this kind of macho, you know, I want to live every moment, you know, live hard, die young, and have a gorgeous corpse. I mean, I just wanted to slap him. And, you know, I did have the same feeling. I mean, first of all, as I said, the movie starts with this incredibly dramatic, and that shocking may be the right word, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to see. And all you can think of is, what the hell is he doing? I mean, and
right.
why is he doing this? And I think the rest of the documentary really seems to me to try and answer that question of, you know, what's really going on here, and why is it going on here, and what is it that the rest of us can learn about this? So my guest is Ido Mizrahi, who's the director of a movie that's getting a lot of notice at Tribeca called Gored. It focuses on Spanish bullfighter Antonio Barrera, the most gored bullfighter in history. We come back, and let's see what some of the answers to these questions are of what you thought about him, what you thought you learned from him. As a man, and I'm not equating necessarily making a documentary film with standing or kneeling in front of a crazed bull, but, you know, did you feel differently about him or about being taking chances or being a man at the end of it? Stay tuned with me. It's Broken with Tricks, and I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
My guest today is Ido Mizrahi, who is the director of a film that's at Tribeca called Gored, looking at Antonio Barrera, the most gored bullfighter in history. And the movie starts with his last fight. And I'm not going to tell you how it ends, because I think you should go see the movie. And I assume that Ido would just assume that you saw the movie. Before we go into the kind of psychoanalysis of Antonio, tell me what the responses have been to people at Tribeca who've seen your film.
They've been incredible. People are experiencing this guy's kind of final conflict, final battle in I think a very visceral way. Just seeing people right after the screening, you go into it, and then you can tell me more about it and what you expected, what you ended up finding in the movie. They don't really know what to expect. I think, like myself, you know, us Westerners going into seeing a movie about a bullfighter, it seems, Yeah, it's not part of our world. It's
kind of anachronistic, you know, something like almost going to a zoo, you know, something that's kind of a strange, has very little to do with our lives.
Absolutely. And has to do maybe with something so ancient, something that's yep. so kind of suppressed and has been already has found different, more progressive forms in our lives, right? They don't go out and sort of sacrifice an animal in order to make a point. And
yeah.
here's the sort of modern priest killing an animal in front of a crazed audience and kind of sharing the animal's life force and libido and the godliness of it with
it seems,
the crowd.
It seems both ancient and primitive.
Totally, ancient and primitive. And sort of, you know, in we don't really kind of manhandle death in that way anymore. You know, we've gotten used to not seeing death being sort of hidden from us. You know, I won't go too much into politics, but I feel like there's been, in modern times, really an attempt to sort of make death go away. And there's also the fear of death has driven us to try to look younger, try to kind of run away from what it means to actually, you know, to expire. And, you know, this is not to justify bullfighting in any way. I mean, I think it's a brutal, bloody ritual. I didn't come into it as a fan of bullfighting. I was really interested in why this man wanted to continue sacrificing himself for this thing that he really couldn't achieve.
That's an interesting notion, isn't it? Because I think we have so clear in the movie. It's clear talking with you that this guy was really viewed as, at best, a second-rate matador.
Absolutely. And he fought his whole life for recognition, and he could never quite do it. I mean, what happened was, you know, there's a certain grace that I think is expected from the great matadors, a certain kind of statuesque stillness that is expected from them in order to really get to those high levels. And he never quite had it. He just didn't have the goods in that way. And so when you don't have it, you have to come up with something else. And so he just became the really, really brave one, right? He just had to get a little too close to the bulls in order to prove that he belonged in there. And I think that kind of antsiness, that anxiety to sort of continue to pursue this dream of being great, but not really having that raw talent required for it, produced this kind of guy who was just relentless, but just would not stop. And a lot of it had to do with his father's dream and his father being a failed matador and his father pushing him from a really young age.
Dun, dun, dun. It's interesting as you talk about this, because there was a movie based on the Nicholas Sparks book, The Longest Ride, about a guy who is a rodeo rider who rides bulls, which is, you know, maybe a millimeter safer than kneeling in front of them, but basically ends up sometimes doing exactly the same thing, and he doesn't even have a picador, you know, he doesn't have anything to swords or anything. He's on his back and hoping stay on the bull long enough to not get gored. Well, the same phenomenon actually occurs in the movie as occurs in yours, which is both of them suffer grievous damage and deciding what they're going to do about it.
Right.
Yours is certainly much more dramatic because it's a documentary as opposed to a somewhat fictionalized version. But the same phenomenon, the same obsession, the same need to prove something to somebody, and especially to your dad.
Right.
And what did you take away as a man from this? I mean, did you respect him, or did you view this guy as a little nutty? You know, I felt enormously sorry for his wife. That, I mean, on the other hand, presumably she married him partially because of the, you know, the fame and the glory and the whatever. But, I mean, this is guy clearly on the last legs, by literally, of his career.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, she, again, not being, I mean, I want to say I do have a lot of empathy for him, and I find that in his struggle, because I can't really judge him for being a bullfighter. I think he was really sort of conditioned to only be a bullfighter. That's the only thing he could be. And I think I can only sort of really gauge the choices that he made within that kind of the cards that he was dealt. You know what I mean? But,
he reminds me of this guy that I knew in medical school who had a nervous breakdown because he had been trained. His grandfather was a physician. His father was a physician. And he never questioned it. And he hated it. He hated the sight of blood. He didn't like dealing with people. And he wasn't particularly smart, but it was the only thing he'd ever thought of about himself as doing, and then finding that he was in a position of hating what he was doing, and it was literally eating him up alive, as it seemed it was with Antonio, that knowing that you could never live up to the dream, you could never actually satisfy your dad, and literally being willing to die trying. And there's got to be a different way. I don't know that women fall into the same kind of trap of feeling that there's no way out, that you have to satisfy your dad and you have to be bigger than life. I didn't mean to stop your answer, but you as a man feel that you learned something from Antonio, or did it just seem a different world?
I think, what did I learn from Antonio? I mean, what I saw in Antonio that I don't know is so much, it's not so much sort of a takeaway or something that I kind of learned or was able to apply in my life, but that fear of being a con artist in a way, like somebody, and not I don't mean in a malicious way, but being somebody who professes to be a somebody, professes to be good at something, thinks he has the talent to do something, to kind of achieve a dream, a childhood dream, and then always having that fear inside you that maybe you're not good enough, maybe what the goods that you're peddling, you're just not qualified to peddle. That's something that is, as an artist, as a filmmaker, you feel all the time.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you should say that, because there's a book, which is not a very good book, but it's a great title, called The Imposter Phenomenon. It was almost that, hearing you say that, it gives, I think, an added sort of depth to the movie. Here's a man who felt that he was an imposter in one area, so he was going to prove that he wasn't an imposter in the other area, and it was worth dying for. I'm so glad I'm not a man. Listen, go see Gord, because I think you'll understand a bit more, maybe about bullfighting, but mostly about not only Antonio, but what it is to be a man and living up to something you can't quite achieve. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Did you miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.